Prayers of the student body and faculty are requested for Anna Gady, a former student. She's been undergoing treatment for cancer, as you may know, and is currently struggling with some other health issues. We pray. O great physician, Jesus Christ, be with our Christian friend and lend her your aid. Grant, if it be your will, that her body may be released from the illness that afflicts her, and that she may swiftly be restored to health. For the present, grant her a double portion of your Holy Spirit, strengthen her faith, and give her the requisite courage to face every challenge with confidence in your unchanging word and promises. Grant that we as her fellow believers may be generous in offering our support and companionship to her in this her time of need. We ask it all in your saving name. Amen. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you look at the ecclesiastical calendar, you'll learn that today, November 29th, is the day on which we commemorate the patriarch Noah. His day happens to fall during the very last week of the church calendar. And that's not a coincidence, as we immediately realize when we look at the second epistle of Peter, chapter 3, beginning with verse 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then was perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." This is the word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is coming to judge the living and the dead, dear Christian friends, there have always been people who have scoffed at the Christian faith. But 50 years ago, such people were in a distinct minority here in our United States. No longer. You, young people, we'll have to face a challenge that we Christians of a generation ago didn't have to face, that of becoming an increasingly marginalized minority, and yes, being scoffed at in public because of your faith. But this is a challenge that, with God's help, you can overcome. And Peter tells you why. Because no amount of scoffing and ridicule, he says, can change one simple fact. Christ is coming back for judgment. When you say that, it typically prompts one of two reactions. The first is that of the unbelievers. They scoff, willfully forgetting the evidence of the past. When Christ comes back for judgment, the vast majority of people will not be ready for his return. In fact, not only will they not be ready, Peter says they will have spent the majority of their lives scoffing at those who are ready. You say Jesus is coming back to judge the earth, then where is he? It's been a long time. Day follows day, and year follows year, and nothing ever changes. Nothing ever will. So why worry about judgment day? But there's one glaring error in that logic, and Peter puts his finger right on it. He says that there was one time in the history of the earth when everything changed, and that was the great flood, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. Think for a moment how people must have scoffed at pious Noah. Here's this old man, miles from the nearest water, spending years and decades of his life building an enormous boat. He must have been the laughingstock of the neighborhood. People no doubt ridiculed and made fun of Noah and said that nothing was ever going to happen. And, for a long time, nothing did. Jesus says they ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, and everything went on just as normal. Until when? Until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. And destroyed them all. On that day, everything did not continue as before. On that day, all things changed and the world was destroyed. Why is that important to us now in 2017? Because Scripture warns that another big change is on its way. A change that'll make the great flood look like a day at the beach. Christ is coming back for judgment. The world that now is, with its ungodly and its scoffers, is reserved for punishment, as Peter says. The heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. Yes, Christ is coming back for judgment, and as long as this world endures, unbelievers will scoff, just as in the days of Noah, forgetting the evidence of the past. But for you and I, for us believers, it need not be so. May it never be so. Let's be different. Let's take full advantage of this interval that remains between now and our Lord's return. Let us repent, grateful to escape the judgment to come. What's the reason, after all, that Jesus has delayed for so long his second coming? It's not because he's slack, Peter says. It's because he's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The reason is that he's merciful. This period before our Lord's return is a time of grace, a time for all people to hear the gospel and believe it. Sadly, many people seem able to spend all the time and yet squander all the grace. A story is told about W.C. Fields, a notorious comedian of the vaudeville era who was known for his wayward lifestyle. Near the end of his life, he was hospitalized and very ill. A friend of his showed up in his hospital room and was shocked to see the old man leafing through a Bible. He asked, "What are you doing?" Fields replied, "I'm looking for loopholes," which is kind of funny in a way, and in another way is really sad. It happens so often to so many people who, when faced with death, search frantically for a way out, a way to escape the dread judgment that they know in their bones is coming. Perhaps W.C. Fields' friend was a Christian. I hope he was, because then he could have told him, there is a loophole, a very big loophole. In fact, the entire Bible is about this loophole, and the loophole's name is Jesus Christ. Jesus came to earth to provide us with a way of escaping the judgment to come. It's not an easy way, and it's not a popular way. As Jesus once said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Do you realize what a blessing belongs to you? You, out of all the multitudes in this world, you have found the narrow gate, the way to escape the judgment to come. While countless thousands are perishing in unbelief, God has put faith in your heart to trust Jesus as your Savior. You know that you're a sinner, but you also know that God sent Jesus to be the atonement for all your sin. And he did atone. On that cross-topped hill outside Jerusalem, on the darkest of Black Fridays, Jesus offered up the one sacrifice that could cover all your sins. He offered himself. When the last day arrives, we're all of us going to stand before the judgment throne of Jesus Christ, and there will be no scoffers there. Then, says Paul, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Christ is coming back for judgment. So let the unbelievers scoff, willingly forgetting the evidence of the past. We will not make their mistake. We will follow faithful Noah, serving our Lord Jesus and thanking Him with our lips and with our lives for the unspeakable gift of His saving grace. Amen. We'll conclude with "By All Your Saints in Warfare." It's printed on the handout you have, and as has been our custom, we will rise for the singing of the Trinitarian stanza, the third stanza.